Yo, what is going on, Met fans? Welcome to another show of our New York Mets podcast. Look, it's late Thursday night. I'm not going to waste a lot of time. Let's get right into this New York Mets series recap. The New York Mets played their second series of the 2024 season against the Detroit Tigers. We lose the series 2-1. Split the doubleheader. A lot going on in these three games that were played in like fucking 4 days. Monday, we lose obviously in extras, then 2 days off due to Mother Nature, and then we get two games on Thursday. We lose the first one in extras as well, and then we walk off in the third game to win it. We still lose the series, but there were some positives. Of course, some negatives, and we're going to hit on some points. We're going to talk about the starters. We're going to talk about a questionable, maybe not questionable, decision by Carlos Mendoza to take out Adrian Hauser. We're going to talk about the, I know I said it already, but, you know, the rotation the first time through. We'll talk about Julio Teheran and the signing and what that means. We'll talk about Jose Buro a little bit. But look, let's talk about pretty much what this series was about for the Mets. And it's really two phases right now. You got the starting pitching that has done well in spring training, and so far in this very young season has pitched well. Aside from Severino getting hit around, I'd say the starting rotation has done okay. I put out a poll earlier on Twitter at Our Mets Podcast. What would you grade this rotation the first time around? Would you give it an A? Would you give it a B, a C, or a D? I'm somewhere around a B minus, maybe, or just a B. It hasn't done terrible. I named this rotation the question mark rotation at the beginning of the season because I really didn't trust it. And so far, again, a very small sample size, but so far they have exceeded my expectations. The Manaea gave us a great outing in game one, and we couldn't ask for any more from Sean Manaea. Really had his shit going. But again, it was the offense and the lineup just not pulling through, not doing their job. The top of the lineup is really struggling. And then in game two, in the first game of today's doubleheader, Adrian Hauser really pitched well. He danced around, a couple innings, maybe three, where he got into some jams, but he was able to get out of it. And, you know, the most questionable thing out of that outing was Carlos Mendoza pulling Adrian Hauser with 67 pitches in the sixth inning. Do you question that decision? Like, should he have taken him out or should he have left him in? That is the big question to me, at least. Hauser started off the sixth inning by walking Meadows. Then he gives up a single to Torkelson, and Meadows goes to third. So now it's first and third. And you can kind of see when Mendoza came out, Hauser didn't really like getting pulled. I think you can see this facial expression. I can't read lips too well, but it didn't look like he agreed with the decision to being pulled. And at that point, Hauser had thrown 67 pitches, which to me, it's a questionable call because it's like, well, you know, you can say it's his first start of the year and this and that, but if you look at everybody else that pitched before him and after him, as far as starters go, it was their first start of the season as well, right? So if we go one by one, we go Quintana, he threw 85 pitches, his first start. Severino threw 88 pitches. McGill threw 78. Manaea threw 88. Then you have Hauser today in game one, who threw 67. And then you have Buto, who threw 90 pitches in game two. So that's why it's a little questionable to me. So you can't use the excuse that it's Hauser's first start of the season when you're letting these other guys before him and after him hit 80-plus pitches in their first start. So that didn't really make sense to me. My only guess is that he wanted to get some work in for the relievers. We have to remember that the Mets had 2 days off. Aravino hasn't pitched since Saturday. By the way, he gave up a home run today. I can't remember if it was a home run. I know he gave up a run, but either way, he stunk it up. And you got Diekman. He didn't pitch since Saturday either. And Drew Smith, he did not pitch since Sunday. So I guess Mendoza wanted to give these guys some work in. But I thought that maybe, you know, this was the game where you can kind of leave Hauser in there and have him figure it out. And then, you know, since we knew Buto was going in game two, then if, you know, there was always that possibility where Jose Buto would not, would not give you a solid start, and then you can unload your bullpen for his start. And it actually, I guess it all ended up working out in the Mets' favor. The Mets exhausted seven relievers in game one, and then, you know, only needed one reliever in game two. Go figure. But again, back to my point about Adrian Hauser. And then the next three batters, right after Torkelson singled, the next three batters, Ibanez hits a sacrifice fly, and then Green flied out, and Verlin lined out to end the inning. So I feel like, you know, Hauser this afternoon showed that he can get out of innings. His two-seamer looked really, really, really good. I was impressed. He pitched well. So, you know, it was a little questionable, you know, and definitely a game that we should have won. The big, big, big Mets key stat of mine in game one is that the Mets bats just died after Brett Beatty's single in the fifth inning that drove in Alonso. There was 25 at-bats after Beatty's single in that game. Okay, the Mets had 9 strikeouts, 6 walks, plus 1 batter was hit, 0 hits, 6 groundouts, and Alonso struck out 2 times and a base on ball. They were on time. They were on base 7 times, and you could not find a way to drive in any more runs. You know, the lineup looked just completely flat in both games. I mean, they've looked completely flat in all fucking 6 games, if we're being honest. I don't know what's happening. I don't get it. Like, the players are much better. At least the top 4 or 5 hitters right now, they're much better than what they're playing, especially Nimmo, McNeil, and Lindor. I mean, it's been a real terrible start, to say the least, for the top of the lineup. I mean, those guys are really supposed to be the table setters, and Alonso's got to drive him in. And then, you know, it's just, I don't know what's wrong with the lineup. They'll figure it out, I believe. You know, it'll come around. But just right now, it's in a funk. It's in a funk right now. And, you know, I mean, slumps happen throughout the season. They could happen in game 150. And as Steve Cohen said, it just so happens that our slump, you know, starts off, you know, started in game one last week. So it's something that you got to live with, and the players got to figure it out. You know, these are all professionals, and you're hoping that they do figure it out. You know, these guys, Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil, you know, they're good hitters. They're good ball players. They just, you know, the slump is happening right now, and hopefully they can snap out of this. So, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens going forward. We got the Reds next. And then, you know, in game two, Jose Buhro gets the start, and I gotta say, Jose Buhro was pretty damn good. I predicted his stat line to be 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 runs, 2 base on balls, and 6 strikeouts. He ended up going 6 innings, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 6 strikes. Very, very, very impressive. He threw 12 first pitch strikes out of the 23 total batters he faced. Keep in mind, in this game, Buhro started all first 7 batters with a ball. He wasn't throwing first pitch strikes as the game went along. He really, really looked comfortable. He's like a little pit bull out there. He looks like he has really good command up there in the mound. Like he owns the mound. His fastball just feels like a meatball. Like, it's not in the sense that he gives up a home run, because he didn't, but it's just a heavy fastball, I feel. He's a pit bull out there, man. You know, really gave us, you know, 6 solid innings. I mean, in 90 pitches, you really couldn't ask any more out of Buhro today. And then huge shout out to Reed Garrett in game two. He was called up as a temporary roster replacement on April 1st after McGill landed on the IL, and he pitched 3 scoreless innings and had 4 punch outs. So pretty important outing from Reed Garrett, because we preserve some of that bullpen for this upcoming series. And, you know, Buhro did his part, Reed did his part, and, you know, the offense slept through most of this game, and it finally woke up at the end, where you had Alonso tying the game in the 9th, then Beatty walks, Marte sack bunt, that advances Brett Beatty to 2nd. And then on the 6th pitch of the at-bat, where Tyron Taylor hits a 3-2 slider to left field, and Brett Beatty scores the game-winning walk-off run as the Mets win game 2 of the doubleheader, 2-1. I couldn't imagine what the feeling would have been like if they would have gotten swept again. The doubleheader, the series, back-to-back sweeps to start off the season. Man, you don't want to be... And then, you know, the schedule doesn't really get any easier, because then they got the Reds, then they got the Braves after that, and then I think they got the Royals, who the Royals, I think, are an improved team. So, you know, they needed this win. They really should have swept. I mean, when you're up 3-0 and, you know, you give up... you know, you let the other team tie the game, and then it goes to extra innings, and you can't get a hit. You can't get nothing. Besides the ghost runner on second base, you can't get nothing going, you know? And you give up 5 runs in game 1 to the Tigers in extras, and then you give up another 3 in extras in game 2. That's 8 runs in extra innings in just 2 games. I mean, that is really, really pathetic. And the fact that the Mets can't score any runs in extras is even more pathetic. So, encouraging. There's encouraging things going on with the Mets right now. The starting pitching, I would say, is one of them. The bullpen is not awful, except for maybe Tonkin, but everybody else, you know, looks good, looks live. The bullpen, the lineup is sleeping right now. It's sleepwalking, and it really needs to wake up, because, you know, we're going to need to score runs in these next few series. And, you know, to keep things close, at least for the time being. So, you know, overall, I think, you know, let me know what you guys think about Mendoza pulling Hauser today at 67 pitches. Because obviously we don't know what would have happened, right? I mean, he could have blown up after that and, you know, the wheels could have really fell off, or he could have really fought through it like he was doing pretty much all of game one and, you know, gotten through it. And, you know, maybe we wouldn't be talking about, you know, Ottavino or, you know, the bullpen blowing leads. But who knows? Who knows? Let me know your thoughts. But definitely, aside from that, the bats just died. Again, they died in game one after the fifth inning. Their last 25 at-bats in that game were terrible, to say the least. Let's see. What else do we have here? Let's see, things that I like to see, things that I enjoy seeing in today's game. Let's see, surprisingly, the bottom five in game two did not strike out once, but they also only combined for two hits in game two. But at least they put the ball in play, and, you know, you can only hope for something to happen if the ball's in play. Also, Brett Beatty, he's looking a lot better on the field. I wish he could field the baseball a little cleaner, but other than that, he's really making plays. He looks comfortable at the plate. He just looks like he is, he's playing with confidence. You know, the arm looks pretty strong. He made some pretty strong throws. Like I said, he bobbles a couple baseballs, but he stays on top of it. He doesn't, you know, his demeanor out there doesn't seem to be like he's down on himself. He really forgets about the last play and he moves on. And I think he's making the best out of his opportunity. I still think there is another gear for him to get to. And we just got to give that some time and let it marinate. And I think, you know, he'll come through. Another thing that I like to see, Francisco Alvarez, you know, the guy is really turning into the pulse of the team, his emotion, his hustle, and just coming through in the clutch. He got the Mets on the board early in game one with a double that scored Lindor and Alonso. He had another double in game one where showing off some speed and, you know, a pretty nifty slide as well, hiding that right hand a little bit and then sticking it out for, you know, to reach the second base and be safe at second for a double. He's really, really coming around as a, you know, as a leader of the team, you know, and this team really needs a spark. Alvarez cannot do it alone, but he is definitely providing some spark and energy and excitement. And, he's just hitting the ball really well and he's not striking now. He's putting the balls in play. You can't really ask for much more, and he's still doing his thing behind the plate. A little sloppy there late in game one, but you know he's doing all right. He's doing all right. What else do we have here? Obviously, I talked about the starting pitching. Love to see them. Aside from Severino, who got hit around in his first start, the starters have combined for an ERA of 2.47. That's including Jose Buto today. So those are things that I like to see. One thing I did not like to see was Brandon Nimmo looking for walks. He drew a walk three times, I believe, in game two. And I think he was up 3-0 on one of his at-bats. He got two pitches that were, I felt, you know, in his wheelhouse, and he didn't swing at them. And, you know, I feel like he was just looking for a walk, and he's one of the guys that are struggling, and I know he just wants to get on base, but, you know, Nimmo's not your base stealer, so that's fine. You're going to get on base. I wouldn't really nitpick that much, knowing that you're going to attempt to steal, but you're not going to attempt to steal. So I'm really looking for Brandon Nimmo to drive the ball, and I think he'll be able to do that in Cincinnati. It's a hitter's ballpark. He's left-handed. I'm looking for Nimmo to break out a little bit against the Reds and, you know, be the Brandon Nimmo, maybe show off some pop a little bit, get on base and do the little things that he knows how to do, work counts and all that. So I look for, and don't get me wrong, I like the walks. I don't mind the walks. But I just feel for him to kickstart things, he needs to start swinging the bat and not looking for a walk so much, because then you can't really depend on Francisco Lindor too much. Eventually he'll break out, but right now he's in a slump as well. So Nimmo really needs to be a little more aggressive at the dish. That's just my opinion. And, you know, to get things going for him. Let's see. Other than that, Julio Teheran was signed by the New York Mets. Look, I don't think, I'm not here to preach to you about Julio Teheran and that he's going to be, you know, the savior or nothing like that. He's just another depth piece, low risk, high reward. Maybe he'll make 10 starts. His prime years are past him. He was a workhorse back in 2013 to 2019. Obviously, he was a Met killer. I think the Mets lit him up for like 6 or 7 runs last year while he was with the Milwaukee Brewers. But, you know, I wouldn't expect too much out of Teheran. It's a good signing, though, because I think he can still pitch. I thought he was 30 years old. But that the last time he pitched, I think, was 30. And then, so he's around 33 years old. You know, like I said, low risk, high reward. It's one of those sign-ins. It's whatever. I if I had to choose, it's Jose Budo over Julio Teheran, you know, for a spot start or whatever. But, you know, whatever. We'll see. I'm not banking on this guy to, you know, light it up or anything like that. Maybe he'll get lit up, but he ain't gonna light it up, and he'll, you know, he'll have a good start here and there, and then, you know, it's whatever. So that's pretty much it. You know, the Mets, again, I think we know right now what the Mets' issues are, and it's the lineup, and it's really, really one thing about the lineup. When J.D. Martinez comes, you know, comes aboard, I would almost think about putting Alonso, Alvarez, and J.D. Martinez. Alvarez has the capability to be the protection for Pete Alonso. I would sandwich him in the middle of those two guys. I think that would be a very, very nasty 3-4-5 in the lineup. Then you have Brett Beatty after that. You know, it changes the dynamic of the lineup. You know, we'll see what the Mets do. We'll see what the Mets do with Lindor at number two also. I know they want to get Pete as many at-bats as possible, so you got to keep him at the three. Where else do you put Lindor? I have no idea. It would lead off or two. I mean, I don't see no point in swapping Nimmo and Lindor. So I think he just stays put at number two when J.D. Martinez returns. Let me know what you guys' thoughts about this Mets and Tigers series. The Tigers are not a bad squad, man. They can play some ball. They can play some ball. They got some good innings from Matt Manning and who was it? Casey Mize. So, you know, the offense is not bad. Pretty solid team. I have them finishing second in the Central. So, you know, but definitely a series that we should have won 2-1. Definitely a series we should have won 2-1, maybe even sweep. If the offense would have just been a little bit awake, maybe one eye open, then, you know, then I think we could have swept this series for sure. But let's see. They got to wake up now, because Cincinnati's no slouch. The Braves obviously can hit home runs at a very, very, very large rate. So we need to, you know, be up to par with what the Braves can do. So they got some home run bombers, and we really don't have them aside from Alonso. And if he's not hitting home runs, then we're just fucking no power. Like, there's no power. Him and Alonso, there's no power. That's all I have for this episode. Let me know what you guys think about this series that the Mets lost 2-1. Let me know what you guys think about Carlos Mendoza pulling Adrian Hauser with 67 pitches. Was it the right call? Did he pull him too soon? And let me know what you guys think about the Jose Buto's pitching performance in game 2. I thought it was brilliant. Couldn't ask for anything more. So we'll catch you guys on the next one, probably after the Reds series. So Sunday evening, we'll have another episode for you.